Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us at 9. Glad you could be with us here this morning on the show. What's going on? Never mind, Lance.
I had to get headphones. I'm going to need 3 African-American callers immediately. This is going to date back to the Stray Cat show that Dell hosts with
is that
Raheel.
What it's called now, the Stray Cat show?
When he strolls in like a stray cat,
they always go
meow. Here comes a stray cat
because there's a saucer of milk or something. So here's what I need.
I call it Numb Nuts. Show.
That's fine too. I need an African American caller, and can I get a Hispanic caller too, Dell? Can they speak on it or no?
Why don't you set up the premise?
Yeah, no. Let me give you the phone number. I almost don't want you to know, so you can comment with a clean palate. Okay, here's the phone number. So I need a ruling, if you will, a vantage point. 713.
Your perspective.
Yeah, a perspective. I can't trust Dell.
He can't. Why can't you trust me?
Because you're just your professional cynic. 713. 780-3776.
Got cards that say
okay.
That.
I'm sure you do. 713-780-3776. If you are African American, if you are Hispanic, I'm not going to do Asian. I'm just going to keep it right there.
Why are you excluding the Asian?
No, let's just do person of color.
Person
period.
Of color. Men of period. Color. Like the show.
No, like person, Dell.
Men.
No, why?
Why can't it be a woman?
Why are you men so anti-women?
Color. Yeah. Why do you hate women?
Why do you hate women?
Do we have an intern here today?
See,
yeah,
this?
Sarah.
I topsy-turvied that.
Who's in there?
Sarah. She's new.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get Sarah's perspective on your hatred of
Sarah, just put them on hold and we'll...
Well, she has to determine if they're African-American
or not.
Don't start.
Wait a minute. How are you going to know
don't
that?
Start.
How are you supposed to know that?
Gonna figure it
if
out.
You called in, then we'd say, nah.
Lance, how's
hang
he
up on him.
Hang up on
hang
him.
Up on him. Hang up on Dale.
What's the question there?
Look at, you see, he's always trying to topsy-turvy everything.
Yeah.
As soon as you get something like, she's got to determine.
Now, see, that racist, how are we supposed to determine whether or not it's African-American?
You guys sit on hold. I'm gonna, Dell and I are going to flesh out the premise and the right. perspective. John, I'll let you, I don't want to put you in the middle of this.
Yeah,
in the
I'm
firestorm.
Out. Yeah. I'm out.
So, well, let's get everyone on hold, okay?
All right. So just take all that right, that me, call that one that's checked, Dell. Just take that person and we'll find out who
okay,
it is.
Okay. Well, here's what we got going
apparently
on.
It's too hard to just write someone's name. Okay.
Here's what we got going on, Dell. And Dell will also. So y'all were on the show, Dell, and Raheel brought up this topic. No, on a serious note, this is where Raheel says. He goes, "On a serious note, what about when Baker Mayfield was walking by and homeboy said, be humble, sit down." And of course, Dell goes,
"Humble yourself, humble yourself."
No, humble yourself.
Devin Bellamy.
Yeah.
But he called him homeboy.
And he goes, but homeboy did that. And Raheel goes, "Are you allowed to say homeboy?" And Tyler, white producer,
goes, very white.
Yeah, but he's got a beard. I don't know if that changes anything. Big beard.
Well, we saw in Ozark that it changes a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was the beard necessarily that did that.
Well, it seems that way to me.
But he goes, no, you can't say homeboy. And Raheel goes, what? Why can't you say homeboy?
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, you can say homeboy. Homeboy is just a term of affection. Homeboy is nothing. Yeah. It's almost like old dude. It's, you know, it's the same thing. And Raheel goes, yeah. Then Raheel decided to flip and go, wait, you know what? you can't say that, Link. You
he
can't
heel
say
turned.
That. Yeah, he completely heel turned on me. I'm like, why can you not say homeboy? You know what? That thing that homeboy did. And then Dell, you say what you said.
I said, Lance does the NFL draft and he does the NFL.com stream. I said, you have two guys.
I have a streaming audience. It's a little different than the.
It's true.
You're not
on the network television, NFL Network, excuse me. But you have Bucky Brooks as one of your co-hosts sometimes.
Bucky Brooks, African American. Matt Money Smith,
who is
Caucasian American.
I said he can't say homeboy. Period. No matter who he's talking to.
Can you tell me the timeline when that was taken off?
I don't care one way or the other. But if you say homeboy, you're in trouble. That's
just tell
saying.
Me. I'd like to know when it got taken off the blood.
Well, let's ask.
A white man ever been able to say homeboy on TV?
Hey, what's up, homeboy?
Nope.
Yeah.
What? No. Yes.
They're not going
to. Wait a minute.
They're not
okay.
going to let you.
All right. I got the cachet to do it.
Let's get Daryl in
this
here.
A bunch of bull.
Daryl, and find out whether or not he could say homeboy. Daryl, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. You're good, a man Darryl. Of color?
Yeah, I'm black.
Okay.
Get a ruling on this. Yeah. You heard what we said. Do you need any other information here?
Nah, man. He can say homeboy.
Mm. See?
It's just the fact that it might have started in the hood, but since we're in a totally different era these days, people can say what they want, man. It's perfectly fine.
Look, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge or jury. I don't, Lance, say what you like, but I know what's going to happen when you do say it.
Wait. Okay. Okay. Let's get Wayne in here.
Typically what I say during a broadcast. Like, well, here's the thing with homeboy. I don't really like. It's not typically in the flow. But don't make me say it on purpose when Davin Bellamy gets drafted in the sixth round.
I can't wait till you're on.
Don't push me to do it.
I can't wait till you're on NFL Network. He gets drafted,
right,
and you go, man, I like homeboy.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you what, Bucky. Homeboy right there's got some rush. That's what I'm gonna say, Dell. Right to you. What's up, Wayne?
Can he say homeboy?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
I don't know, man. I like to keep it to where, you know, the other brothers say dude and we keep homeboy, you know what I mean?
Okay. Uh-huh. There's one on Dell's side.
Okay.
He's like, you got dude or broke.
Well, what he's saying is just stay on your side of the fence. Stay in your lane.
As LeVar would say, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
But he says Dell also says I can't say old dude.
Can we say Dell?
You said I can't
say your boy.
I need a ruling. Can I say stay in your lane?
Mm. Yes, because you are copying a guy who is a caricature.
Are you going to use an accent?
Okay. I'm copying a cartoon.
Are you just going to say it in your own voice? Or are you going to say?
He's going to say it with an Italian accent. Stay in your lane.
Are you going to do your Chris Carter when you have a fall guy?
You got to stay in your lane.
Nope. Can't do it that way.
But can he do it the LeVar Ball way where he's clowning?
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, I think you can that. Yeah,
all right.
If we have
all right, Anthony, let's get him in here. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, guys. So my take on it is more on the side of the last caller. You can say it, but I think staying in your lane is probably the best way to go about it. I think if you say it to a brother in a certain area, you might get a reaction that you like, what did you just say? But for the most part, I don't think it's a big deal. It's 2017, so you know,
but here's
you can
the
get
thing.
Away with that.
No, here's the thing, Anthony. This is the crazy
here's
part.
The deal. It's because it's 2018, it is a big deal.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal in 2010.
Nope.
2007. Like, homeboy is this, or, you know, it actually wasn't even, it really wasn't used a lot. It's never been a slur ever.
No.
In history, it never has been.
When you say,
but Dell's right about this. I'll give Dell this, and Anthony is like wrong. He's it wasn't a big deal.
Now it is.
Now it is because it's like, wait a minute. I think he said homeboy. Is that Is that on the list? Do we have it on the list? Can we add it?
It's not a question of how I would react or even as a black person would react to it. Because homeboy, I don't care one way or the other.
Homeboy is a
It doesn't matter to me what you say when you say that. I mean, it might, but for some people in that environment, it's going to be like a smack across the face. What did he just say? Why did he say that? Why did he say it directly to Bucky Brooks? What's that about?
Here's the litmus test. Would you say it on the NFL Network?
I probably would.
Would you really?
That's why you're not.
Oh, no, I don't know, dude.
I guess not.
Well,
I don't know. But it's not.
That's too casual.
I don't even think about it.
It's
because,
too casual. Man, homeboy.
Well, no.
Homeboy can rush the quarterback.
No, this
now.
This is if I'm. But first of all, I don't even use it. Like, it's hard for me because I don't even like. There's never a term I would say. Yeah, I do say, like, man, your boy's got some rush to him. Like, that's a term.
Well, your boy is different than homeboy.
That's a term of like, that's your guy. Yeah. Sometimes you put it on people, it's like it's a flip. It's a topsy-turvy where you say, man, your boy Sam Darnold's got no, that's not my boy. Like you said, man, your boy, if you know somebody doesn't like somebody, say your boy.
And I told you, you could say that to Matt Money Smith, your Caucasian co-host. You say that to Bucky Brooks.
And you could say it about Sam Darnold.
Yeah. That's true. You say that to Bucky Brooks. People are like, why is he using your boy for Bucky Brooks? What's that? Why can't
why
he just
putting
talk?
Your boy
Wait,
on
you know not- who would You know who would never say that? Bucky Brooks.
Right.
Bucky would have no problem if I said your boy somebody.
It's not never. About Bucky. It's about the people watching.
I know. Oh, I'm well aware. Like, did he just say that? Did he say that about a player from North Carolina where Bucky went to school? Or that Bucky knows from because he's got a 7-on-7 team in Miami? Yeah.
No. No, he just called him your boy.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, truth be told, I wouldn't even use the term home. It's not even, like, it would be so, I would have to try to use that. It doesn't flow in any level of conversation for me.
That's not how you
talk. It's not in the mix of words that I use.
But I don't think it's NFL, unless it's a couple of players up there, former players up there, and homeboy. Look at what he's doing here. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get a Hispanic caller in here, Del, since you are trying to hog everything. Let's let Jose have some representation.
Hey, Jose.
What's up, Jose?
Good morning. This is Jose.
Hey, Jose.
What's up, man? I don't really see a problem with it, but if there was a Hispanic running back, would you say, look at that, vato?
I mean, man. You know me, Jose. I probably would.
Braxton Berrios?
You know me, Jose. I'd probably say,
andale.
No. I would do it if it was a Texas-centric broadcast where we, like, we know, man, vato can run.
No, you do it. You do it to your friends.
I just think Americans are being too sensitive nowadays.
Thank
Come
you.
On, I mean, I've seen white dudes refer to another black dude.
Well, that's...
Yeah. With Jigga, put it that way.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive, isn't it? Isn't that a little aggressive? Dell, is that on the aggressive side? I feel like that's in the aggressive side. Look, I've seen it on YouTube.
It's aggressive. I told the story back when MySpace was still a thing. Like, 14-year-old white girls would be like, or even obviously a little bit older, would just be texting, calling each other the N-word in their comments.
Dell, it's in. Watch a YouTube fight of kids in a neighborhood, white kids in a neighborhood somewhere, and they call each other that. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's aggressive. Lance,
with other kids who are black standing around, I'm just like, I guess it's different time there.
I'm just trying to protect you
in Connecticut.
All I'm saying is, you're gonna catch them. You're gonna catch them.
No,
stuff.
You're probably right. I'm not, but now you're making me want to try.
I would ask that you not for your own benefit.
All right.
Let's get Jeff in here and take a break.
Can
hey,
I
Jeff?
Say vato, though? Are we okay on that?
Vato.
It's not really. If it comes up where you need to say vato, go ahead.
No. I want to see you say vato
I'm not
on
sure
the
where
NFL
that,
Network.
Where that scenario comes in.
All right. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man? Jeff?
Look, using the word homeboy, I think should only be used between friends. If that's a friend, then it's okay to say homeboy.
Yeah, that's
if not a friend. It is not okay
now,
to use.
That's the best. That's the best definition. That's the best explanation I've heard so far.
Yeah, I get that absolutely. But if Bucky's your boy, then what?
Well, Bucky's your boy.
But all the listeners
viewers all the people viewing aren't his boy. That's the problem. Not about Bucky. I don't know his relationship.
I feel like
with Bucky.
We're all friends.
If Bucky might be like, yeah, that's cool. But everybody else, is, hey, why is the white guy using Bucky's homeboy?
Not a, no, I'm texting. We're going to get Bucky on the show later.
Well, we've got to see.
Of course, it's California, so it's probably not going to
happen. Yeah, probably not going to happen. All right, Jeff, we appreciate it. 713-780-3776. That's right. The show. Man, it's the start
where
to the
we,
show.
Where did we?
Oh, by the way, while I was answering phone calls, I got a call from a guy who was like, yeah, when can we get our normal programming back? This is not what I'm used to at this time. I was like, buddy, I can't deal with you right now.
Stu? Was it Stu?
It wasn't Stu.
Oh, yeah, it was Stu.
It was
no, it was Stu.
It was another guy.
And another news, Stu. The New York Football Giants have fired Bob McAdoo and Jerry Reese, the head coach and offensive coordinator.
Bob McAdoo?
Ben McAdoo. And Bob McAdoo was coming off the bench for the Lakers, for the Minneapolis Lakers.
Actually, Bob McAdoo is actually a Los Angeles Laker.
But
that's a Minneapolis Laker voice I was doing.
That's right. We apologize. This is your show.
Hey, Stu, on a serious note.
You're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, on a serious note, the Giants did not make the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, what about all the scores? The Giants won the game.
Did they?
Yeah, they beat the Redskins.
Did that game? Oh, yeah, 18-10.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know the score
of
that one.
I know the score of that one, too.
I was not a half fan of that score.
Yes, you and I both.
I wish it was 18-10 the other way.
And you and me both. It's time to talk about Renter's Warehouse, because Renter's Warehouse is where you get... Now you also are a Renter's Warehouse guy. We're both Renter's Warehouse guys. Well, what it is that you can rent out your home and make money on it.
Frankly, it's a better deal than selling your home. I didn't realize that until I just did the math. They told me what my house would rent for. And I was like, what? Because who knows what rental price? You can go find what your house will sell for. That's not hard. Rental price? I didn't know. And I called them up, and they got back with me like the next day, and they said, here's your price that you can expect to rent for, plus or minus $150 to $200. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
That's way better than
that. And in an average of 17 days. You know Craig here, Craig Larson, he sold his house in Katy. It took him a year and a half. And he didn't get the price he wanted.
And kept paying the mortgage over and over.
Yeah. And so here's the deal, and especially if you got water, if you took water on during the storm, try to sell your house now, okay, and see what you're going to get for it. Yeah, you can rent it.
You'll like it.
Yeah, you can rent it for full value because they don't care that there was water there. But someone who's buying your house certainly does.
Well, if you've got a house to rent that didn't take on water, there's a market for your property. Trust me.
Absolutely. So give them a call and find out for yourself. It's actually a way that people aren't working anymore. They keep buying houses, and Renter's Warehouse keeps renting them out. And when you rent more than one, you get a discounted price. So call 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pretty good tweet by Jay Billis here. Just came out. The college football playoff is better than the BCS, but let's not pretend that every game counts in football. By college football playoff logic, hardly any of the games count. To the college football playoff committee, none of Central Florida's games counted. None. And that's true. Because here's the deal. The question was last year, after University of Houston beat Florida State on New Year's Day, okay, with a quarterback that wasn't very good, two quarterbacks that weren't very good. Then they came back and beat Oklahoma in the first game of the next year. If they would have gone undefeated, would University of Houston been in the college football playoff?
No.
Still would not. I think they might have been. If they had gone undefeated through that season, I think there was a chance last year that they would have gotten to the top four.
I don't know. One thing we've seen is teams don't make up any ground. There's a glass window, and teams who are considered better than them are the ones who move up. Those teams, like, stay there and try to hang on for dear life, typically. And we saw it happen with TCU and Baylor. And when Ohio State flew past them that year. And I think the same thing would have happened to Houston. Here's my thing. That argument, I just don't see how you can make it when your schedule's 12 games long. It's just, how do you make that argument and act like it's basketball that has 30-plus games or whatever? The sample size is so small, it's not apples to oranges, because you can't, like, the nature of the sport is you can't have it as big as – as college basketball. It can't be that.
Or no. Nobody wants him to be this guy's biggest college basketball. I think it's pretty simple. Here's another thing.
It's never gonna be
none
16.
Of USC's games counted because USC. Okay, they lost two games, so they're out of it. But it was okay for other two lost teams to possibly be in. USC was a conference champion. Ohio State was a conference champion. Oklahoma, Clemson, and Georgia. Those were your conference champions.
I just don't think all conference champions are built the same. Like, USC had no business, and we saw it in the playoffs.
But how do we know that they wouldn't have won? You don't know. And, oh, by the way, how do you know what UCF would have done?
I think your season matters. You can tell on a season, like, you can objectively. I don't think there's anything wrong with the selection committee saying, based on your schedule, how you performed. At first, they tried to do it with computers to take out any bias, and the computers were pretty good at a lot of things.
Except the one flaw with that is you can adapt a computer however you want. What do you think is more important? So therefore, it is biased.
Well, but
to what I think is more important.
Yeah, but they had a central. It was based on strength of schedule.
Okay, so but you're saying strength of schedule is the most important. So therefore, it is biased. It's biased against teams that are in lesser conferences.
Weak schedule. Yeah. That's
a bias.
The bias is against that. The only bias. There's no natural bias. It's just weighted towards teams who play better competition.
Well, but that's a bias.
Yeah, but that's not an intentional.
Well, it is intentional bias against any non-Power 5 school.
Well, but it's not intentional. No one set it up to where let's keep them out. It's
well,
it's,
it does though. But no. It does by its own nature.
Does it not get taken into account now? Strength of schedule is still taken into account by people.
Well, absolutely it does.
You do it every day.
But it's biased against Central Florida again.
Yeah, but we do it every day when we look like, well, who have they beaten? Who have they played?
No, absolutely. But again, that is a bias. Regardless, that's a bias. So if you put less emphasis on strength of schedule in your algorithm for your computer, then it will spit something different out.
Maybe, but you have to factor in who you played and how you played. You have to factor that.
Well, apparently you can't factor in how you played. Remember, there was a time when it didn't matter how much you beat them by.
Now, this is the flaw. One of the big flaws, but they don't do it anymore. That's why it's been taken out. But I always thought that cap on how much you win by was a mistake. You've got to have the cap higher. It's got to be raised because if you beat the piss out of a team by 31, that's an average team, you should get the full 31 on that one or, you know, whatever. When I used to handicap games, one of the things you look at, my cap would be very, very high because if you really crushed a team, let's say a team's got a Sagarin rating of 64 in the USA Today, and one team beat them by 28, then I'm giving you 64 plus 28. You played to a 92 is what you played to.
Right,
so you got 92 score. And we subtract or add based on home field or road game. You got the full, like, if you played that well, you should get credit for playing that well. And then you can eliminate.
But Lance, you're not taking into account 2000 whatever. Because apparently we can't, it's participation trophies. We don't want to embarrass our opponent. We don't want to make them feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
So we can't have someone crushing another opponent. So you're not taking that into account.
Well,
sportsmanship.
I'm just saying.
Apparently you don't care about sportsmanship.
They only take into account like 20-point victories and it didn't go above that. I'm saying let's move it to 30 or whatever. But then we got computers and people can just say, that's computers. Are doing it, and the computer's like, oh, I got a better idea. Let's get people in who have way more biases than computer. What could possibly go wrong with people?
Here's the argument. Was the argument though by the bowl people was, oh, now every game is not going to count. Now it's not going to be important. You lost the importance of every game. When in fact now you've lost the importance of every game. USC playing Washington or Stanford in the Pac-12 championship game. And let's face it, the Pac-12 is weak. I don't think there's any question. 1-8 in the bowl games, while 7-1 for the Big Ten. I think we found out what the big Pac-12 is all about.
But you knew.
But if you
watch college football this year,
But we've taken the importance out of that. That game was not only could they not go to the Rose Bowl because the Rose Bowl was a semifinal. You know, winning their championship meant nothing.
It meant a lot in that conference. It still does. In that region, it does. It doesn't mean anything to us.
Well, no. But
it does over there to them.
But let's make it so that every conference, every game in every conference counts. If the conference champion goes to the playoff.
But that game against Ohio State doesn't matter to you? That's one of those that did matter to me. Without it playing for a final, that's one of the ones that I cared about. Too highly, you got embarrassed. You got your ass kicked, and you got embarrassed from a recruiting standpoint by Ohio State. They wiped you out. Your conference got embarrassed by another conference that dominated you. Like, I do think it matters just on a different level. And USC at no point was a playoff worthy team to me. I think if I picked the four,
okay, Tennessee a playoff? Is Buffalo or Tennessee a playoff worthy team to you? Because
in pro football, in the AFC, yeah, probably.
Was the Texans at 9-7? Then we knew what they were.
Yeah,
I mean, but they're a playoff game. You know why? Because they won a division.
Well, now it's a 16 game schedule. If you want to lengthen,
as opposed to 13.
Well, yeah, I think it gives you a chance to schedule different. I think it gives you a chance to broaden your schedule a little bit and play a tougher opponent.
Three more games.
The SEC is going to just schedule one tougher opponent and two super duper cupcakes.
Have to play a tougher schedule throughout.
As well, you should. But you got one more game to potentially trip up. I can just put it this way. People are going to show themselves more through a 16-game schedule than a 12 to 13 max schedule. Those extra games will eliminate a couple of people or will show people to be
frauds. It's not eliminating pro teams. The 9-7 or 8-8. We've had teams that were in there 8-8, even 7-9 got into the playoffs.
Okay, here's the counter-argument. Who do you think should have gotten in instead of them? Who deserved to? Nobody. That's the difference.
Well, No. Teams that with better records were sat at home than the Texans at 9-7.
But you have wild cards that make up for that.
Well, right.
Now, if you want to add a wild card to college, then, I think that might be coming.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Five conference champions, two wild cards, two at large, and one group of five.
So
the group
eight.
Of five deserves to a place at the table. The best group of five team deserves a place. Let's see. You know what we found out in basketball? Mid-majors can play.
Then let's do this.
And you know what? Central Florida can play football.
I want to keep it tight. Let's do this. Let's go six. Group of five gets one, and then you got one open spot for someone else. And that's five spots, basically, for Power Five.
Okay.
That's plenty. You got five spots. And you know what? Just because you win your conference doesn't automatically mean you're in. If you have a weak conference, you don't get in. If you have a weak conference and you didn't even do all that well, because if you have a weak conference and you're a good team, you should have pulverized your competition. If you were just okay in a weak conference, you're going to be USC.
Well, here's the problem, though, is you are going to perpetuate that weakness. If USC gets in, and we know that the Pac-12 is going to get in, good football players are going to go there. Now they're looking at the Pac-12 going, man, that's crappy football. I'm not even going to get into the playoff. Nobody's going to see me. I'm going to go to an SEC school because I know I'm going to get in the playoff.
I still think college football's a regional enough that West Coast guys aren't traveling. Some of them will. USC is going to get the best players in California because college football is too regional. Families don't appreciate going out to Tuscaloosa to play football.
But they do, though.
Not many.
They do.
There's like one or two. But, yeah. But it's.
You mean from the West Coast?
Yeah, West Coast guys aren't heading to Alabama. It's like one or two.
Nah, it's pretty rare.
It's rare. Like USC is still going to get their guys as long as
they stay up and down the coast primarily. But they have some leakers, but not like our state does. And, and frankly, the SEC keeps most of their talent at home, too.
Yeah.
You don't see many SEC area players go to Notre Dame or Michigan. That's very rare. The only state that leaks is Florida. Florida will leak occasionally because you got guys like formerly Charlie Strong or whoever who have been in the state who still has a little pipeline.
Dana goes down there.
West Virginia.
Tennessee goes down. Everybody goes down there.
I was reading that. Dell and I were talking about that when Miami and West Virginia had beef in a bowl game 2 years ago, and it was because there were West Virginia players who are from Florida, which I didn't realize.
West Virginia, their reputation is they get guys who may be grade casualties other places, and they also get guys who the big three don't pay attention to. And that's where a lot of their Florida talent comes from. So there's an extra chip on the shoulder because the big three didn't recruit them.
Where's Kevin White and Kaiser White and Karan White from?
I don't think they're from Florida.
They're not from Florida.
The Wonderful Whites?
They're the Wonderful Whites.
They are the Wonderful Whites. 7:30 ESPN 97.5. Some good tweets here about it. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
We'll get to that here in just 1 second. If you guys want to weigh in on any of that, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And it is going to be a bigger topic because when we come back, we're going to talk about this SEC in a championship game, how no one seems to be happy about the All-SEC championship game. That Alabama-LSU thing, which was okay because that was a super game previously in this, in the season prior or in previous seasons, and they rematched, and it wasn't a good game, and they rematched. That thing is over now. No one wants to see two SEC teams fight against each other for a championship. I have to tell you one thing you do want to see. You want to see James Harden and CP3 and Eric Gordon. Look, we don't know if Harden's going to get to the All-Star game. We got to get him there. He's got to get that designation, so it'll be on his basketball reference page. James Harden, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and Clint Capella, All-Star game. You can make it happen. If you vote daily, you can make this happen. And it's really important for guys like Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, and, you know, and Chris Paul, too, for that matter. Chris has been huge and is going to continue to be huge. Post your votes on Facebook status by tagging them with the players first, and then the first and last name, along with the hashtag NBA vote. So you go Clint Capella, hashtag NBA vote. You can do the same thing on Twitter. You can tweet and retweet daily. James Harden, for example, hashtag NBA vote. Vote on NBA mobile app or on NBA.com. Fans can vote by enabling the NBA All-Star skill on Amazon's Alexa platform and then asking NBA All-Star to vote for their favorite players on a daily basis. So for all the voting details, visit Rockets.com and follow the Rockets' official Twitter and Facebook pages.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Art hates when we talk about sports. Art, stop. We love college. I know you do, too, because you watch. Every second of your life is consumed with college football players.
It's a job a little bit, but I've really, honestly, over the last, since I started doing the draft stuff, which is, I started in the fall of 2014, I was much more pro-heavy than college at that time. Yeah. Much more. And well, the Texans were coming off of, you know, 11
and 12. This is your niche, though, now.
Yeah, and I have just so much better appreciation, you know, again, for college.
You know, a lot of people have their face as their moneymaker. You know, college football players are your moneymaker.
Yeah.
That's your moneymaker.
Yeah, I like to try to exploit them for my own benefit.
Right, right. And like someday, maybe, like, you'll be fired for it, like Rich Rod.
Well, he didn't get fired for exploiting college different. Players.
Well, he's, I don't know what he was.
What did he get fired for, Dell? That's out, by the way. Rich Rodriguez, gone at Arizona.
What did he get fired for?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he did some stuff, allegedly, that he shouldn't have done.
Well, he had a dalliance, first of all. Dell, you brought up a pretty good point. When it's better to admit that you had an affair on your wife than it is.
He's like, look, now I'm not a perfect man, and I happen to have sex with someone who's not my wife, but all this other stuff, that's not me.
That's not me.
But I did all this other stuff. I did that stuff, but not this stuff.
Well, now, does he get fired anyway because he had an affair, an extramarital affair?
I don't know why. I don't know how that works in college. Apparently, it's a really big deal if you need to have a wife and to be a college head coach.
Kiffin doesn't.
Well, he had one when he started.
Right, but he doesn't have one now. Yeah, but guess what? He's winning football games. Is there a correlation?
Jimbo, I don't know. I don't know. Dabo had a wife. Has a wife, doesn't he? He wins games. So does Nick Saban. So I don't know what's the correlation. But apparently that's a big deal. You have to have your wife on your arm when you're walking and getting introduced to people. You don't want a single guy on a college campus, I guess, because bad stuff happens sometimes.
Cliff Kingsbury? Well, good to bad things happen with the recruits' moms?
What is John saying?
Nothing actually happened.
No, but that's what Michelle Beadle asked him.
No, because of that story where the mom got all excited. Like,
yeah, the clip
Cliff sent her the autographed picture of himself or whatever.
Right.
Because she asked for it, something like that. Remember that story?
Well, no. Michelle Beadle on the show said, hey, if you have to, would you do mom? What?
She really asked that?
A secure commit?
Why did she ask that? She knows the answer is yes.
Yes. To get a recruit, a 5-star?
But isn't it...
Not even to get a recruit, just to be in a running, Cliff would probably hit that.
Yeah. The thought is, I guess, that if a guy is single, he's spending less time focusing on football and more time chasing. So you have to be married to be a good football coach in college.
Not anymore. You can have an in-house concubine.
Like Rich Rod?
Maybe.
It always ends poorly for those guys.
Yeah.
You never hear about...
Well, see? But he was married. It worked out poorly.
Multiple national champion and longtime concubine holder, Coach A. It never happens that way. You never hear that together. Tom says, so earlier in the show, there was an argument about if I could use the term homeboy on a broadcast. It's kind of weird how it even started, but it just, trust me, it came up. And Tom Downtown said, there is a way that Lance could say that on NFL Network. Here it is, Dell. He said, here's me. Homeboy about Deshaun Watson. Homeboy is the real deal. Like right off the bat, you're like, ooh, that doesn't work. Homeboy is the real deal. He made the playoff caliber Titans secondary look like a bag of farts. And I think his thought is, if I call them a bag of farts, it kind of takes away, like,
right.
It's a diversionary tactic from saying homeboy. Does it work, Dell, for you?
I mean, are you still trying to keep a job, or are you just trying to get
out? Yeah, I'd like to keep a job.
You can't use bag of farts either.
What? I think that would deflect from homeboy.
But yeah, he would.
Would people be offended? There you go. Oh, bag of fart. You can't say fart anymore.
He'll get fired for saying bag of farts. He won't get fired for homeboy. It just depends on what you want.
Well, because I'm being disrespectful of a team that's under the shield.
Yeah.
Potentially.
And he used the term bag of farts.
This is a real email I sent. I'm going to read it. Okay? I'm going to read this email to you.
Is it from Matt Malatesta?
No. It's a real one, not fake Matt Malatesta, who actually was somebody trying to get me to send them money. This is Andy Fenlon, and I'm going to read my email to him because it involves you in a way. You sure will have a particular interest. I basically asked him, let me see, I got to go to trash. This has to do with a guy we were talking. Who were we talking about yesterday, Dell? I was getting some scouting reports from Dell, and I'm going to use him on sources tell
He's
us.
He's not going
to
credit me.
As a person close to the program.
I'm not that close. I just watch the games.
I'm going to say a person close to the program told me that, and it's going to be Dell.
Dell.
Yeah. Hmm. Here's my question.
Your source.
Andy, this is one of my editors. Andy, I'm dying to write Arms Like a T-Rex on the weaknesses section for Braxton Berrios. My write-up is mostly positive, but his short arms on his short frame is just very noticeable. Thoughts? Doesn't bother me. I'm all good for that description. And then I said, ha, 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 ha.
Because you're a teenage girl.
And it's in there, Dell. Are you okay with me saying that he has arms like a T-Rex?
It's fine with me. The thought is, if Braxton ever sees that, and he will... Braxton's not a type to let stuff go.
I can tell. You know why? Because he's got that slot wide receiver look and feel to him.
So
diving through the air for balls, not afraid if he gets smashed in the head in the middle of the field. Like, he strikes me as a guy who wouldn't let things go.
So if he sees your draft report, and maybe he gets drafted in the fifth round, and he sees that, maybe you're even talking about him, and he hears that, he will make sure the first time he catches a touchdown pass.
Oh, that's going to be the first time? Juju Smith-Schuster says stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what he's
going to
do? Little arms.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy.
He's going to do little arms. Pull his elbows back. But do little arms. Look, Lance Zierlein.
That'll be so tight.
He's the guy, after catching a touchdown pass against Notre Dame, put his arm behind his back like he was a convict and walked off the field. So, yes, he will remember and take a shot at you.
Yeah, nice. Okay, here's my bottom line. While Berrios is a little stubby and tight-hipped, he has explosive...
Stubby, huh?
Yep, he has explosive characteristics and shows the ability to uncover and the toughness to make contested catches look easy. Berrios may appeal to teams looking for a slot receiver who can work the middle of the field and attack the intermediate routes. His ability to return punts simply adds to his roster value. Getting caught up with what he can't do rather than what he can do would be a mistake.
He'll appreciate that.
Would be nice if he pulled his shirt down.
No,
in
he
pre-game.
Won't appreciate it. Let me tell you why these players won't. Because people like the Dan Patrick Show bring Carson Wentz on, and they read the weaknesses section only.
Yeah.
And then they get all, and those players go, who said that? They don't read the part where I said he's going to be a Pro Bowler. That doesn't even get read. And so when I was in New York for my wife's marathon, I went up to see McLovin, Perloff.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan was there, and we were talking. I said, you know, Dan, I'm the one where you guys always read the negatives and never the positives. And they all started dying laughing. He goes, isn't that the best? I'm like, that's the worst. It's the worst. They all get pissed off. Braxton Berrios could read all this positive, and the only thing he's going to take out of it is...
Well, you called him stubby.
Stubby.
And then you said arms like a T-Rex.
I'm sorry. If no one on his team, Miami, the team that has a turnover chain... If no one on that team has said something about him having T-Rex arms,
team leader Lance.
If no one on that team has said something about him having T-Rex arms, then they're not doing their
most
job at Miami for breaking
slot
balls.
All right, this year, Lance,
put it out there right now. Who's going to be a better pro, Hunter Renfrow or Braxton Berrios?
Ooh,
the measurables would say Berrios. He actually tests well.
I don't know how Renfro
will test.
I'm not listening to the you.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm gonna go Hunter Renfro because he busted Minka Fitzpatrick's ass.
All I'm telling you is Braxton Berrios actually met not his measurables, but his testing is actually of a 4-star. He was a 4-star.
He's gonna run
Renfro
a low
was a walk on.
So he's gonna run. He's gonna run a low 4.5.
All I'm pointing out is
who cares who was a walk on? Who performed against Alabama?
One guy had Deshaun Watson. The other guy had Brad Kaya. And Malik Rozier, so there's a difference.
Well, I mean, that's true.
There's a point.
That's a good point. I'm going to go with, by the way, my comp on Braxton Berrios, just keeping it real.
Danny Amendola.
Why got to be
surprise?
Why can't it be John Ross?
Why can't it be? No. Well, he's not. Devon Best. I always go with Devon Best.
Yeah. Travis Benjamin. Why can't it be Travis?
Because he's not Travis Benjamin.
I'm just
Benjamin.
Going all the way in on the white wide receiver slot guy.
745 ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. All right, okay, so since we do love college football, this is what I wanted to get into a little bit. And you, Del, you're a big college football aficionado as well, so chime in anytime. Do you feel differently about the Big Ten after the bowl season?
I don't. I probably should. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird because I knew, like, I've looked at most of these top players from these conferences. Wisconsin had a good, not great team, like they always do. Wisconsin always has a good, not great team. But I respect the good because they're always good. Iowa was solid. Michigan State, okay.
Yeah, but what a bounce back year for them after.
It really was after last year.
And then beating Washington State the way they did.
Yeah. Michigan, I knew Michigan was going to take a
Michigan,
little step
boy,
back.
Michigan, boy, how in the world?
They had no quarterback.
But wait a minute. How do they have Hurst, Gary.
Like, they've got players over there. Still.
How do they have no quarterback, really?
I don't know. John O'Korn, a Houston castoff. Wow, he was awful. I mean, he was awful.
Awful. Brandon Peters, awful. Turned awful. How does that happen?
They're not going to be awful next year.
How do you not? And he has. He's recruited. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so, okay. And then the Pac-12 on the other side. Do you feel a little bit like, wow?
See, I didn't think the Pac-12 was good this year. Washington took a big step back. USC showed us early that they weren't the team that we thought maybe they
were. Stanford is always
Stanford. Sam Darnold had taken it. Stanford was good, but we knew they weren't great. Like, I thought the Pac-12, I didn't think they were going to be that bad, but they didn't. That didn't surprise me.
I thought
that
three,
much.
You know, Crist was bad. I thought when they changed quarterbacks, that was a good move, and it changed Stanford. If he'd have gone with him the whole way, it might have been a different story. Do you feel differently about the SEC now that they got two teams in them?
Feel the same as I always feel about them. SEC doesn't change. You know what I did? It's interesting because I'm trying to think how it made me feel when the Big Ten slaughtered everybody. They did it, you know, in lesser bowls primarily, other than Ohio State just slapping around USC. I think it does show that kind of what I thought during the season when I'd look at games is like, oh, that could be a tough game. I'm like, ooh, Iowa versus, you know, whatever. And Purdue, by the way, is going to be the team that's going to be really dangerous next year. They got a quarterback.
And they got a good coach.
They got a player. Yeah, they got a team over there, yeah. And so now that's just another. And Northwestern has a guy who is going to be a top 2-round quarterback in Clayton Thorson. You'll hear a lot about him next year. This kid has got a freaking hose.
Now, that knee injury is bad.
Oh, Thorson's?
Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he messed it up in the I was watching it in the bowl game.
John, maybe you didn't hear. Quarterback knee injuries are never bad. Let's stop talking about bad quarterback knee injuries, okay?
What coach?
Because literally Bill O'Brien and the entire Texans organization is built on the hopes and dreams that Deshaun comes back averaging 30 a game.
Signed Dante Culpepper.
That's it.
Knee injury.
Did you have to bring up Dante Culpepper?
Yeah, quarterback knee injuries are never an issue.
What is wrong with you? He was a fat quarterback. Deshaun is skinny.
Deshaun wins from the pocket anyway.
Stop it.
So what coach changed your – is there any coach that you changed your opinion of? I've got two.
Typically, one game doesn't make me change my opinion.
No. But the season changed your opinion of him.
Oh, okay. That's a better question.
I got mine.
I'm always
Lane Kiffin. I changed my opinion of him. I think he's got a lot more substance than I thought. It was at a different level, obviously, but it turns out he can coach. He can coach because we didn't see that at Tennessee, Oakland, or USC. My opinion of Jim Harbaugh is changing. I really thought that he would have Michigan at the top by now.
Yeah, that number against Penn State, Michigan, the best teams in his conference.
It's bad.
It's bad. And
I haven't changed. Maybe I'm just slow. I just think he is a really good coach. Maybe it will change my perception. He had Ohio State beat. Like, he hasn't had as much talent as them the last 2 years, and yet he plays Ohio State about as hard as you can play him. Like, he's always super
competitive. But that's a Michigan-Ohio State
thing. Yeah, but he gets them ready to play. They haven't had a quarterback. They've had Wilson Spate, and they had Jake Ruddick. And they've had, when is he going to get a real quarterback?
Well, picking.
No, he didn't pick Ruddick.
He didn't pick
Ruddick.
Grad transfer. He went and got Ruddick because he didn't have a quarterback
to, I don't know recruiting that well, but does he have anyone down the pipe? Because he needs to get a real quarterback. But then again, who did he have at Stanford?
Where'd Tate Martell go? Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State.
He had Kevin Hogan. I mean, that wasn't a real dude.
No.
Either at Stanford. When is he going to get a real cornerback? Does he keep getting guys like him? Kind of marginal NFL talent, scrappy guys.
No, he wishes he had him.
Yeah, I guess so.
He wishes he had Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, go find that Lane Kiffin hype video from. Hey, Owls fans, this is Lane Kiffin, the one where the sun's in his eyes, he's squinting like. You excited for Owl football? We're going to really kick some serious tail this year, and. It's like he literally in the video is basically telling you, I can't wait for what my next job is.
I just can't wait to get out of here.
Next.
Well, he just signed a 10-year deal, though.
Hey, Owl Nation, this is Coach Kiffin. What an exciting time. Next week is National Signing Day. As we sign some of the best players in America.
He's not even looking at the camera head on. He's looking off to the side.
No.
So please join us next week for this exciting season. Come watch the Owls. Have a great year and a championship run starting with you.
He wasn't wrong, by the way.
He wasn't wrong.
Go Owls.
You know who? Not that he.
I mean, how exciting the music. It's from 1990. One of those background tracks in radio that's just a generic. Somebody sat in a studio with a guitar. And yeah.
I'm pretty sure Michael Kerr, our production guy, uses that track for some of the spots here.
Probably so. It would have been better. I'd have had it more respected. Hey, Michigan State fans, check out a lot of these players who I'm going to try to get transfer in for Mark D'Antoni's job in a year or two. Hopefully you guys lose this year, so I'll be able to come out there and get that job. Thanks, and hook 'em Sparty or whatever y'all say.
No, he didn't.
Hook 'em Sparty? Hook 'em.
Lane's not sure on stuff. He gets mixed up on things.
He's been so many places. Fight on, Sparty, whatever.
Hey, Ole Miss fans, it's me, Lane. You paying attention to what I'm doing down here at Florida International or Atlantic or
wherever
Florida
I am.
Southern? Hey, I don't even know what this school is.
I don't know what your mascot is. It used to be that old racist guy. It was a bear. Now it's a shark. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. I score points. And when you're done with that Matt guy, what's his name again? What's that interim coach's name again? I'm coming on down. And Tennessee, you better watch out.
Hey, Ole Miss, I can get those great players too. Trust me, there's better ways of doing things, and I don't butt dial.
Trust me. Hey,
I got. By the way,
two phones. Yeah, this is the good.
When you walk into Ole Miss, look at how many phones I got.
I know. This is for your parents, and this is for your girl.
This is for your hoes.
This is for hoes. This is for parents. I keep them straight, unlike
Hugh
Freeze.
You laugh. You laugh. I know a coach that changes his phone about 6 times a year.
He's from the wire. He's got a bunch of burners.
He's got a bunch of burners because, God forbid, any hoe has his number. Oh, she called. No. Got to get a new phone.
So what's that character's name? that looks like Russell Westbrook from The Wire?
Bodie.
That's who he is. Just a bunch of burners.
Yep. All right, 757 ESPN 97.
That doesn't feel like a guy that will stay in one spot for a long time, Coach.
It just doesn't feel like that. No. Time to talk Absolute Marble and Granite. Look, if you're looking for a great way to get that countertop, that vanity, that outdoor kitchen, Jeff Aronoff is back to work. I know he was at the we were at the Nugget this weekend together and playing blackjack and losing all kinds of money. I can tell you this, he needs more money now. He needs you to call him. He needs you to get to call him and get in on a great deal and 20% off. And he was telling me about a guy in Pearland who he's been calling. He said, listen, I love this guy. Great ESPN 97.5 listener. I'm going to give it to you at this price. The guy couldn't believe the price he got it at. And you can too. You got to give him a call. Let him come to your home. Let him estimate what it's going to cost. And then start the process. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble Granite. Tell them you want that 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener.